again, Waynesboro Bible Church family. Do you realize this is the sixth week that we have had to use cyber church? And I know all of you are anxious to get back to regular church services again. So am I. But many of you have told me that you are listening to the messages by way of our website, so I'm really glad that you're staying in touch with us. And I hope the messages are a blessing to you and a help as you stay home and stay safe during this unusual pandemic. One thing we must constantly remind ourselves of is that God has a purpose for all this, and He is preparing a place for us where we will never have to worry about coronavirus ever again, or any other disease for that matter, or any threat to our safety and well-being. We should also remind ourselves that God loves us with an everlasting love. So let's rejoice in the Lord always and again. I say rejoice. Just a reminder, the month of April, again, is a special time in which we are celebrating our Lord's resurrection and our own coming resurrection from the dead. Our memory verses come from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let's rejoice, friends, because he does indeed live. Before we go to the message today, let's take a few moments to pray for one another. Paul tells us that we should be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Lord, I want to praise you this morning for your mighty arm of power and your ability to deliver us from the danger of fear, famine, persecution, disease, and anything else that might come our way. I want to thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins and to offer us the gift of eternal life by removing the penalty of death from our record and by imputing his own righteousness on that heavenly record. I want to pray for those who are still sick and suffering from the coronavirus in our state, around our country, and throughout the whole world. And Father, I pray again that you bring this to an end. We ask that whatever lesson that you might have for us in this, whatever purpose you have for it, that that might be accomplished and we might be able to see an end to this trial that we're all experiencing. I certainly pray for those who have lost loved ones to the coronavirus. Very difficult is that time for them. And Lord, we know that there have been thousands of those who have gone into eternity. We know that the loved ones of those who have perished are grieving deeply. And we ask that your hand of mercy would be upon them, that you would draw them to yourself, that you would comfort them. I pray, Lord, for those brave medical workers, the doctors, nurses, medics, ambulance workers, caretakers, all of those people who have worked long, difficult hours tending to the needs of those who have this disease. I want to pray for the first responders, the police, the firefighters, the rescue workers. I want to pray for those medical experts, Lord, who are working feverishly to find a cure and a vaccine for this virus. And not only for the coronavirus, but our country has also experienced severe storms throughout the Southeast and the Midwest. I pray, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones and homes and businesses in the tornadoes. I ask, Lord, that you would encourage those who have suffered greatly. Father, I pray for our church family. our loved ones who are suffering from other sicknesses and illnesses, difficult times. I want to pray for those who are going through financial struggles right now due to the coronavirus, those who are out of work, those who need to get back to work. Lord, when the time is right, we pray that you would help us to open up our businesses again. We pray for those who have special needs, whether it's simply someone to talk to during their time of loneliness, or maybe someone to bring a meal or some groceries to them, or someone that needs help taking care of themselves or cleaning for a while. Whatever the needs are of our church family, I pray that you would meet those needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And certainly I pray for the ability to get back to our church services and fellowship very soon. I also pray for our missionary family. We've heard from nearly all of our personal missionary family here at the church. And it's not surprising that every single one of them are also going through what we're going through. Coronavirus seems to have hit every country of the world. I don't know of anywhere that people are not affected by it. So I pray for our missionary family around the world that you would protect them and that you would supply their needs as well. And Lord, I pray especially for our president today and all of our country's leaders, the vice president and all the coronavirus staff that he has in trying to control this thing and bring it under control, for all the governors of our states, all the mayors, the military leaders. They have tough decisions to make, Lord. And we pray that you would give wisdom. There are a lot of states in our country that are wanting to open the businesses back up. Some say it's too early. We ask, Lord, that your hand would be upon those making those decisions, that they would do the right thing. And well, Lord, I want to thank you for hearing our prayers, for giving us the peace of God that passes all understanding. Thank you for the promise of your soon return and for the confidence that we have been adopted into your family and that by justification we do have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Today, the topic of our message is patience. The subtitle is Let Patience Do Its Thing. I'm taking our text today from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. I'll be using several verses, but our topic is patience. Let patience do its thing. And of course, it's with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek that I want to talk to you on the subject of patience today, because I know all of us are getting a little bit impatient, aren't we? We're getting impatient with the situation that we are finding ourselves in. I'm certainly not someone who has the authority to tell anyone to be patient when every day we seem to be confronted with more news of confinement or social distancing or longer waiting for things to open up. But friends, you and I know that God's Word does have that authority, and that is exactly what it tells us to do. Have patience. Again, our main text today is just three verses from the first chapter of James, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It's been over 6 weeks since Governor Wolf has issued a stay-at-home order affecting businesses, social events, sporting events, and yes, attending church. We've seen the peaceful protests taking place in various places. People are impatient, wanting things to open up again. I know we would all love to get back to the lives we enjoyed before coronavirus, but the last thing we want is another rise in the number of cases and the number of deaths. If that should happen, it would only be a matter of time until this would hit close to home. Perhaps it already has for some of you. It would infect more and more of our church family, perhaps taking some of us into eternity. And while going to heaven is a good thing, we know that the death of a loved one is very hard for us to adjust to, hard for us to accept. Just the thought of that possibility causes me to pray often, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Patience. Maybe you are saying, "This message isn't for me. I've got lots of patience." Or maybe you are saying to yourself, "Man, I need to take notes because I don't have any patience at all." Well, I hope and I believe that there is something here for all of us, no matter where we are on that scale. Again, the subtitle of the message comes from James chapter 1, verse 4. The King James says, "But let patience have her perfect work." To me, that says, "Let patience do its thing." I happen to like using the Amplified Bible as a study tool. The Amplified Version says, "Let patience do a thorough work." Again, to me, that says, "Let patience do its thing." What is that that we're asking patience or expecting patience to do? It is, listen, it is making us disciples of Christ who are fully equipped to handle the trials of life and to do the work of the church until Jesus comes back by making us perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, of course, we are going to go into that just a little bit deeper in just a moment. And we are also going to talk about that big question that is on many of our minds. Where do I get more patience? Or how do I get more patience? You've probably heard someone say, "Oh, don't pray for patience. If you do, God will send you trials." Well, that's looking at the situation with a worldly view of what life is all about. By faith, we know that God has a plan that is good for all of us, whether it requires a few trials or not. We know that God is working to make us more like His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is not just a good thing, it's a glorious thing. Paul says it like this: "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." When an artist is making a sculpture of some famous person, he takes his hammer and chisel and he begins to chip away at a piece of marble or some other kind of stone, bit by bit. Since we are not a lifeless piece of marble, the chipping away that the master sculptor is doing is usually painful. Nevertheless, he knows what he's doing, and he makes every chip effective because he loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us more than we could ever imagine. The master sculptor has all kinds of tools in his toolbox. But much of the chipping away takes place by forces and events that are not even in his toolbox. The subject came up in a conversation I had with a gentleman this week about why bad things happen to good people. The question I was asked was, "Isn't everything that God does good? If that's true, then how can we call the coronavirus good?" Well, let's look at that for a moment. First of all, the obvious question, "Isn't everything that God does good?" The answer is unquestionably yes. Well, then why does God allow the coronavirus to make so many people sick and many even die? And why does God allow so many people to lose their investments in businesses? We need to distinguish between the difference, or we need to distinguish the difference between the things that God does, which are indeed all good, because God is good all the time, and the things that God allows. We live in a sin-cursed world, don't we? That curse, as you know, was placed on the world as a result of sin, back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Some people try to blame God for the temptations that they have to commit sin. May I remind you of what James chapter 1 says in verses 13 and 14? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Without getting too far away from our subject today, let me just say that God does not cause people to sin, and God does not cause evil things to happen. God did not cause the coronavirus to happen, but God did allow it to happen for a reason. He may have a lot of reasons for allowing something like that to happen. We can speculate that maybe he's using it to get people's attention. He may be saying, look at the signposts, people. The coming of the Lord is drawing near. Get ready. Or he may be using the coronavirus to bring people to their knees, getting people to repent. He may be using the coronavirus to bring a spiritual awakening. Say, wake up, people. I am God. He may be using the coronavirus as a means of judgment, demonstrating his great, awesome power and his ability to humble mankind, placing a fear of God in our hearts because we know that God is not only a loving God, but he is also a God of wrath. He can be an angry God. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. But for each and every saint, for every believer in the world today, the coronavirus is a test. It is a trying of your faith. It is a temptation, or as we often say, a trial, that we should be thankful for. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, or many different kinds of temptations. Why? Because the temptations, trials, tests, and troubles produce patience, and we have to allow patience to do its thing, to conform us to the image of God's Son. We need to allow the coronavirus to teach us to wait upon the Lord for our daily bread. We need to allow the coronavirus to reveal the almighty power of God in his ability to send judgment, provision for our needs, protection, and yes, in some cases, death, which for the believer is victorious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 116, verse 15. We need to realize that God can even use this, what we call lockdown, to draw us closer to him, to allow him to chisel away at us. Remember, he is the master sculptor. Someone sent this little acronym to me this week, using the word lockdown, L-O-C-K-D-O-W-N. We're going to take those letters and we're going to give each letter a reason to be thankful. Lockdown is a time to L, listen to God's voice and reflect on him. To O, obey his word and his teachings. It's a time to see, call upon Jesus' name. It's a time to know that God has a purpose for all of this. It's a time to dwell in his presence and don't panic. It's a time to offer a prayer for everyone's safety. It's a time to wait on the Lord and be patient. And it's a time to nurture our personal relationship with God. Lockdown. To me, that sounds a whole lot like what James is saying in verse 4. Let patience do its thing. I want to share three things with you this morning that patience is doing in each of us. Three things that we need to recognize about God's work of patience in our lives. The first one is just that. First of all, we need to recognize that patience is a work of the Holy Spirit in us. It's something that God is doing in us. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. The word patience is a definition for the word long-suffering in Galatians 5:22. I want to give you some examples of patience in the Bible. Abraham, first of all, Father Abraham, back in Genesis, he was remembered for his patience. You remember God made a promise to Abraham that he would have a son, an heir. He waited a long time for that promise to be fulfilled. Hebrews 6:15 says, "And so, after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained his promise." And just like Abraham, we are also waiting on a promise from God. A promise that he will send his son to take us to be with him in heaven. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 and 37 exhorts us, saying, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." So, dear friends, let us be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So not only was Abraham known for his patience, David was patient as he waited for God to deliver him from all his enemies. Listen to his own testimony in Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 4. He starts out saying, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust." 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Can you say, "I am waiting patiently for the Lord"? The Bible tells us in Psalm 37, verse 7, to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The Lord used that verse to teach me a lot about patience during a time in my life when I was physically disabled, flat on my back for about 2 months. I was on deputation to be a missionary. I had a wife and two young children depending on me as their breadwinner. Every day I told the Lord, "Lord, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on you." But to say I'm waiting patiently, Lord, that's really, really hard. But God was faithful, and I've had the privilege of serving him yet another 27 years since then. I waited patiently, and the Lord heard me and heard my cry, just like David said. And then there was Job. Job suffered more than any of us could ever imagine. Job lost more than any of us could ever even dream of ever having. And the incredible thing is that in the end, God blessed Job with twice as much as he had had before. And in Job chapter 5, verse 11, we read this little gem about Job. This is a tremendous epitaph to Job's life. It says, "Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." In the New Testament, we have not so many individuals named for their patience, but groups of people. The first group is all the saints in the church at Thessalonica. They had suffered all kinds of persecution and all kinds of trials. And in the introduction to his second letter to them, Paul commends them for their patience. He says, So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. The church at Ephesus was commended twice for their patience in Revelation 2, verses 2 and 3. The Lord Jesus says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." To have a church mentioned for their patience is a wonderful thing. Then the Bible talks about the patience of the saints that are going to be here on earth during the tribulation. Those that get saved after the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes the church, including the 144,000 Jewish witnesses, those tribulation saints are commended for their great patience. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and the works do follow them." And of course, we must not fail to mention the patience of none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Just before describing the vision, his vision of the glorified Savior, John says in Revelation chapter 1, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus." And I also believe we see a picture of the patience of our Lord in Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He endured the cross. All his earthly life, he was focused on that event in which he would secure for you and I a place with him in glory. He patiently endured the cross. So, first of all, we need to recognize that patience is a work of the Holy Spirit in us. Secondly, we need to recognize that patience is a part of our training program. Patience is a part of our training in faith. We all would like to have a little more faith, wouldn't we? Again, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith worketh or produces patience." The testing of your faith. Our faith is constantly being tested. Why would God do that? Because it increases as it is proven that God is faithful to us. And so we are inclined to be more faithful to God. Look at it this way. An oak tree. The more a tree is tossed back and forth by the fierce winds when it's a young, tender plant, and the more that it endures cold winters, the deeper its roots grow. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, "Tribulation worketh patience." The word patience means to stay, to abide, or to stand fast. When Paul exhorts the brethren to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, he's saying, in essence, be patient, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The word patience also carries the idea of waiting expectantly, waiting for something, expecting it to happen, like a young couple waiting for the birth of their first child. There's nothing they can do to hurry it up or make it happen faster, but they are excited as they anticipate the child's arrival. Again, we as Christians are waiting expectantly for our Lord to appear. If it were not for that great expectancy of the Christian, the pressures and temptations of this world would be almost impossible to bear. Again, James says, "The trying of your faith worketh patience." Again, turning to the Amplified Version, it says, "Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance, steadfastness, patience." So if you feel your patience is being tested or your faith is under fire, be assured God is at work producing a stronger, more abiding faith in you. That's good news. But it takes time. Just like growing a mighty oak tree doesn't happen overnight. The stronger our faith, the more enduring our patience, and the more work we accomplish for the Lord. Think about it this way. There are three kinds of boats. There's a rowboat, a sailboat, and a steamboat. A rowboat is small, lightweight, can only carry a small amount of people or cargo. It's totally powered by manpower. A sailboat is a little bit bigger. It can carry a little bit more. It's powered by the wind, and it's more useful. But the steamboat, the biggest of the three, it can carry quite a load because it's powered by a powerful steam engine, a spirit-filled life, a spirit-filled life that is resting in faith, has the power and the patience to carry a huge load. Someone said, "Patience is what enables us to bear all the trials of life and to make profitable use of them until that day when we reach our final destination." Yes, patience is a part of our training in faith. And finally, we must recognize that patience has a work to accomplish. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This concerns our present behavior, what we do in this life, our character qualities as a Christian. The testing of our faith, which is the theme of the book of James, is all about growing up, maturing, The word perfect has the idea of reaching the goal or bringing something to a successful completion or of becoming mature. Again, we have the picture of the master sculptor chipping away all the things that keep us from being conformed to the image of his son. Part of being conformed to the image of Christ is the process we call maturing. God wants to bring us to maturity, both in our understanding of spiritual things and in our character. A Christian who never has any trials, who never goes through times when his faith is tested, will never become fully mature and fully useful in the Master's hands. And not only is the Holy Spirit working to make us perfect or mature, but also entire, wanting nothing or lacking nothing. That phrase goes together. You can't separate it. And it's saying exactly what it sounds like it's saying. Our usefulness to God requires that we be patient with what God has given us to use. Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 4. He says, "In whatever state I am, I have learned therein to be content." The Greek phrase literally means having left nothing behind. Picture this. A man is fixing his son's bicycle, and he realizes that he needs a particular tool, so he walks into his tool shed and he looks around. He roots through all the drawers and all the toolboxes and all the shelves, but he just can't find that right tool for the job. So he walks back out to the bicycle empty-handed. The Christian who is spiritually mature, who has developed patience through the testing of his faith, will never be empty-handed for the job God has asked him to do. He will find himself equipped and enabled to do whatever the will of God leads him to do. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And that includes the manpower to do the work of the church, because the Spirit-filled man will be powered by God himself. So to bring this to a conclusion, the Christian life is compared to a race. Running a race. Listen to what God says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Dear friend, are you in the race with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you living the Christian life and inviting others to join you in the race? If not, perhaps it's time to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it also says, "God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Ask him to forgive you of your sins. John tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you will sincerely ask God to forgive your sins today and save you, His promise is that you will be saved forever. Listen carefully to the words of this familiar verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever, that includes you, whoever you are, wherever you are today, you can place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Dear believers, Governor Wolf has extended the stay-at-home policy until May 8th. How's your patience? The song I wanted to put on the air with this message today, but found that the music was copyrighted, is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Listen to the words of the third stanza. O soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness, you see? There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. There is no coronavirus, no economic disaster, no storm in life that could take away your joy. My brethren, count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience do its thing, and you will be able to carry any load that your master sculptor intends you to carry. This reminds me of a good verse to close on. Actually, it's three verses. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Father, I pray that you would help us today to be patient in the storms of life. I pray that you would help us to be strong in faith, to endure the trials, to set the standard of Christ high before the world, that they may see Christ in us. Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit is working His patience in us so that we might be more and more like Jesus Christ. We ask that you would comfort and strengthen those today who are struggling to be patient with the situations that are before us. Help us to lean upon the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ, and to turn our eyes upon you and realize your strength is sufficient, your grace is sufficient for every need that we have. Thank you for this time in your word, and thank you, Lord, for every listener. We pray your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.